probably keep up with too much current events. I follow too much stuff, but even the average person just watching mainstream media can see that we're living in the last days. Amen. Things are coming to an end, and that's exciting to me. I've got the timeline up here again. I've got a copy of those for anybody that didn't get one. Let me know after Sunday school. I'll be glad to get you those. But we want to look at signs of His return. This week I'm going to look at international signs. And the signs are everywhere, and we have signs along the highway. Some of them are informational signs. I-65 North Huntsville, or Exit 284 Hayden Corner. And some of them are invitational signs. And welcome to Alabama, and they want to invite you or entice you to do something. Or one of my favorite signs, Exit 305, Vans Sporting Goods. And so we have different signs, and then we have warning signs. Right lane closed ahead, or detour ahead, or falling rocks. And we see the same thing as we go through the Bible. We see these signs. Some of them are informational, some of them are invitational, and some of them are warning. And the warning signs we look at as prophecy and as things of coming events. These signs help us move from where we are to where we want to be. Amen. And that's what we're looking at here. it's bad when you get old. You got to have three different pairs of glasses. Amen. But as we move along what we call human history here, we see all these different signs. And there's countless books on prophecy that claim different theological teachings. And so, and I'm trying to teach not just what I believe, what I believe the Bible believes, but there's a lot of different thoughts out there. But I'm hoping to clear up. And when there's something that's uncertain, I'm hoping to try to teach you what other people believe. And so, you know, you can know the difference. I'm not trying to just make it bolonology here. I'm trying to teach you what's taught mainstream. There are over 800 prophecies in the Bible, just on the first and second comings of Jesus Christ. 1,800 prophecies. I've got a book on the coming of Christ, and it just has these verses just on the first and second coming of Christ. It's a book that thick. And when you get to understanding all the, not just the direct revelations, but all the other verses that point towards that, it's kind of exciting to see, and I've been enjoying studying it. Amen. There's a lot there. What I hope to reveal, we can expect in the coming soon, is international and cultural chaos. I'm just going to tell you this. I'm not just looking at this from the last couple of days. This is something from years ago that I looked at. We have a possibility of ceaseless, unending, and terrible war. I'll say, boy, Brother Jim, you sure are a downer. but I'm looking at reality. There'll be more and more disease. There's going to be more and more devastation. Even today, there are millions of people that are starving to death. If you don't believe me, just ask Ms. Chang or Ms. Lisa here about how it is in China and some of the other places. I ain't got time, Brother Petrola. I'm sorry. I'm behind. I appreciate it. Due to insufficient food, the spread of new diseases, antibiotic resistance, and devastation of natural disasters. And you're going to see that devastation of natural disasters increasing more and more and more as we go on. And that's not just something I'm saying. That's something the Bible talks about. Seeing all these playing out on the news and the TV and Facebook and Twitter can bring despair. It can bring anxiety. Amen. It can bring confusion. We don't know what to believe and what not to believe on the news. You know, you don't know what you're seeing is real or what's not real. And so all those situations can bring all that. And it also brings the fact that we don't know who knows the Lord and what of our family members are going to be left behind during a rapture, amen? And that brings more on us. But we need to open up our eyes. And He did. Jesus Christ told us to open our eyes and look upon Him. Not because it's going to make all these world problems go away, not just because it's going to make our problems go away, but when we look to Him, we see the Prince of Peace, amen? And that's where we need to get our comfort from. And that's where we need to keep our focus on. I do believe in being aware of current events, and this whole lesson is going to be on international signs. But when we open our eyes, we need to be looking at Christ at the end. Signs of His return. I want to look briefly here at five different countries. We're going to look at Israel. And when you look at Israel, we're going to look at Europe, we're going to look at Russia, we're going to look at Babylon, and we're going to look at America. We're looking briefly at these five nations, and I want to tell you on Israel, the regathering. I've got my pointer down here somewhere. Well, all this electronics is great, but you've got to get a lot of stuff together. And so I want to look at Israel with the red pointer, not the flashlight. I don't think I can see the flashlight. I want to look at Israel, and I want to say that the gathering of Israel back in May of 1948 was the last prophetic event that had to take place before Jesus Christ returned. That's what we were waiting on, and that happened. And then you've got Europe, and I want to say that the regathering of the nations in Europe is something that's going to take place, and that is where the Antichrist comes from. And the Antichrist will come out of a revived Roman Empire in Europe. And then we've got to look at Russia. And we look at the prophecies in Russia, especially over there in Ezekiel 38 and 39. It tells us specifically about Russia and its allies coming down and attacking Israel on one of the worst wars to ever take place. And that's in our future. And then you've got Babylon. Babylon is brought up in tribulation. And a lot of people want to spiritualize Babylon and make New York City Babylon or this or that. The Bible talks about Babylon, and the first rule I told you about looking at prophecy in the Bible is you have to take it literal. And so literally, Babylon is the country of Iraq, and that will be a major financial hub during the tribulation. And then you've got America, and you will see America in prophecy somewhat, and we'll look at that. I want to look at these five, and during the... look at Israel. Y'all have to see my picture. I told, anyway, that's what I got for Israel. Amen. I told you back on May 14th, 1948 was a pivotal day in history when Israel was recognized as a sovereign state by the United Nations. And Harry Truman over in Washington, D.C. recognized them as their own sovereign country. That was pivotal. That was a restoring of Israel, that last prophecy that we were looking at before Christ returned. In the past seven decades, the last 70 years, 74 years to be exact, you've seen a lot of things come against Israel. There's over 8.5 million people in Israel. They're surrounded by 300 million migrants, and then they're also surrounded by... a whole bunch of enemies that want to kill them, amen? The numbers change. But basically, everybody over there, you've got a small country the size of New Jersey, and they're surrounded by a bunch of people who want to kill them. Now, from a humanistic standpoint, they've got no chance of survival whatsoever, none. But God. I want to look at the Abraham covenant, and again, I feel like I didn't cover that well last week. But these covenants are important because these covenants are promises that God made, and God made them to the Hebrews. He made them to the Jews. And look at Genesis 12, 1 through 3. I want to read that to you again. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We look at that, and we read that, and I read that to you last week, but I tell you, there's a lot to that. There's a lot of meaning in those promises that God gave Abraham right there. There's four unconditional promises made right there that we just talked about. One of them, God promised to bless Abraham. He promised out of Abraham that he would bring out a great nation. He promised that he would be a blessing to many. Do you understand that without the Jewish people, we would have no Bible? We would have no Ten Commandments. Without the Jewish Messiah, we would have no Savior. That's what's happened to the Jewish people. Without the Jewish people, there would be no Christianity. Amen. And fourth, up there, God promised to bless those that bless them and curse them that curses her. God's covenant with Abraham talks about the mission that he had, and it also talks about the future of God's chosen nation. Why did God choose the Jews? It wasn't because they were more numerous than anybody else. He didn't choose them because of their merit. He didn't choose them because they were more righteous. The Bible says that they didn't even know God. And He did not choose them because they were more righteous than anybody else, because the Bible says that they were a rebellious and stiff-necked people. So why did God choose Israel? I've asked myself this question many times. It was because it was God's sovereign purpose to choose Israel. That's why He chose them. Now that Israel restored its land, is this the end? I say no. It is in the last days. And there's a difference between the last days and the end, and I briefly went over that. What's happening in Israel right now is a secular Zionist movement. They are regathered, and they're getting regathered more. What's happening in Ukraine is you have more Jews living in Ukraine than any other country in the world besides Israel. And right now what you're seeing is a return from there more and more back into Israel. The Jews are returning back to Israel, and the Bible promises that they're going to all return one day. Amen. And we are seeing that. We are seeing that right now. But what the Bible talks about there, it doesn't just talk about a physical return, which we're seeing. It talks about a spiritual return. The Bible says that God will put a new spirit in the heart of the nation of Israel. That's in the future. There's no requirements for that spiritual return. There's still two pivotal prophecies concerning Israel that have not been fulfilled. Israel does not yet occupy all the land that God promised them, and its people have not returned to Christ. That's a future event, and that will happen soon. The prophecies in 1948 was a physical return. We're looking for a spiritual return in this promise. Israel leads the Middle East in a lot of ways. Against all odds, the people of Israel lead in productivity. They lead in wealth. They lead in order. They lead in freedom. And they lead in military power, unsurpassed. All of this while remaining on an island surrounded by all these enemies. 300 million enemies was the statistics back 4 years ago. A future leader, though, is going to come and fulfill a brokering peace treaty with Israel. That's prophesied. The Scripture tells us that he's going to break that peace treaty after 3.5 years. And Scripture tells us that this time, as never before, when he breaks that peace treaty, at the end of that, they're going to come down and they're going to come down on Israel like never before. But God will return, and God will save them again, and that's when the Spirit of God will return to its people right there. And in this God's covenant with Abraham, it's going to reach an ultimate fulfillment right there. The Jews will turn to the Lord. His people will be their God, and they will be His people. And this sequel makes it clear, and the gathering returns every single living Jew back to the land, every single Jew. Israel's emergence from her homeland sets the stage for the final fulfillment of biblical prophecies. It pinpoints where we are on God's timeline right there. That's why I made that timeline and I put the, Israel in there. That was very important. And the next thing is the rapture of the church. We are in the last days. Amen. The Bible clearly says that. When you look at the definition of that, we are in the last days. And all this thing is coming together. More than any other sign described in the book is a prophetic future of the nation of Israel answers the question, is this the end? But even a greater prophetic fulfillment also awaits a future day, and that is the return of the Messiah to His Jewish people. Now, quickly, I want to look here at Europe. Right here, I've got a picture. This is out of Daniel chapter 2. I went over this in a study a while back. But what you had the most wicked Gentile king to ever live that lived in Babylon, had a dream. He couldn't remember the dream, but it bothered him. He didn't know the interpretation of it. All his soothsayers and wizards and all his magicians, none of them could tell him what was said. And so there was one man, Daniel, and Daniel told him what the dream was and told him what it meant. And so Daniel explained to him right here, he said, the head of gold right here, that's Babylon. That's the current, that was what they were living in, was Babylon, and that was the current empire. Then you had the chest and the arms here of silver. That was the Medo-Persian. And then you come down here, and then you had the waist of brass, or the abdomen of brass, and that was the Grecian Empire. Then you come down to the legs right here, and you had legs of iron. That was the Roman Empire. Then Daniel spoke about the feet mixture of clay and iron. So going back, when we look at past history and you look at all this, Daniel was spot on with everything he said. When you look at the empires, you had the Babylonian Empire, and they were conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire. Then you had the Grecian Empire. They overtook the Medo-Persian Empire, and they were in control right here. Then you had their demise, and they all gathered together into what we call the Roman Empire. And it was two legs because the Roman Empire had ended up with two divisions. You had a Western division, you had an Eastern division. They ended up dissolving 1,000 years apart. The Western division dissolved 1,000 years later. The Eastern division dissolved. So with all that and being perfecting exactly what Daniel said, what is with these 10 feet and 10 toes right there? And I'm here to tell you that is a mixture of iron and clay. Iron and clay don't mix, and it's not a co-mingling of them. It's just a mingling of them. And if you look at all these, when you go down, each empire became less and less inferior, just like the metals became less and less inferior. You had gold. You started out with gold. Then you started out with silver right here, which is inferior to gold. Then you started out with brass, inferior to both of those. And then you had iron, which is inferior to all of them. And it's funny because Rome is known to have ruled with an iron fist, amen. And they are known for iron. Iron in the iron, when it is made into steel, is actually a metal that can cut through any other metal. It's very strong. They dissolve. So what about these 10 toes right here? I'm glad you asked me that. Everything Daniel tells on his dream happened in consecutive order, just like he said it would. I went into that. We know that the prophecy has not been happened because there has not been a 10-liter form in Europe as of yet. Never. We know that has to happen. If the rest of this happened, just like Daniel said, we know that's going to take place, as Daniel chapter 2 talks about. The future confederation of the Roman Empire will consist of 10 world leaders. Don't let me bore you. I know I'm boring you with some history. I know I'm boring you with some stuff, and you're thinking it doesn't have anything to do with us. But please don't go to sleep on me on this part right here. The Roman Empire started in the 1930s with 26 countries that came together under the United States of Europe. Then it evolved into what we have now, the European Union. Okay, now that European nations, that was the second most powerful political force in the world. Today, the concentration of power in the European Union signals the beginning of this new world order, according to Daniel. A supreme leader must arise from this 10-leader confederation in Europe, known as the Antichrist. Understand how important that is. That's how important prophecy is with Europe. Can I tell you something? I don't know. The Prince Charles, back in October of last year, a lot of people think he's one of the runners for the Antichrist. I don't know about all that, you know. Everybody's got their little guy picked out who they think the Antichrist is. I'm not going to tell you about it. You know what I think. I can tell you I do believe the Antichrist is alive and well. Amen. But Prince Charles, and you can find this recording anywhere. He was at the G20 summit overseas, and he was making a speech about climate change and all that. And he says, we need trillions of dollars. He says, and all the governments don't have it. We need the help from the independent business owners and the secular world to help make this happen. He says, but here's what we need to do for the world. We need to divide the world up into 10 sectors. Amen. He didn't say 9. And he didn't say 11. He said we need to divide the world up into 10 sectors. Amen. And he says, and then we need to have trillions available at his disposal. Now, I don't know who his he was referring to. He didn't give a name on who his is, but I have a feeling I know who his is. Amen. And that happened just in October. Now, let me tell you what happened this past week. Over in France, Emmanuel Macron just got reelected as the French president. Now, a lot of people think he's the guy that's going to be the Antichrist. I mean, he's involved in everything over there. I mean, he's hand in hand with all the stuff going on over there. I don't know about all that, but I do know this. He's calling for a revised European Union as we speak right now, and that's his initiative right now. I wasn't going to throw any world events in here. I was going to try to stick with the Bible, but I just wanted to throw that out at you. It makes things interesting. Okay, now we'll go. Excuse me. It's all true. Russia. Let me look at Russia. This is all you got for a pick for Russia, because I didn't know how to get picks out. Jeremy hit me. Maybe I'll help y'all next week. It does, doesn't it? I wanted something with some snow, brother, or something. But anyway, in February of 2014, Russia seized the Crimea. Now I can't even speak when I get up here. Crimean Peninsula over in Ukraine. And he also sent Russian soldiers into eastern Ukraine, 2014. Then Putin goes up, and he walks on the island like, I don't need an invitation to be here. I can come here anytime I want, any way I want, and there's nothing you're going to do about it. Let me just go on to Putin, and I'm bringing this up because it is important, because Putin is the leader of a country that's involved in a war right now. Putin, from 1975 to 1991, he was a KGB officer. After that, he became involved in politics, and then well, you get up here and you kind of forget forget where you're going. Amen. Boris Yeltsin resigned in 1999, and Putin became acting president. In the elections of 2000, he got elected president again in 2008. They're kind of like us. They can only serve two consecutive terms as president. So after 2008, Putin became the prime minister and stayed there to 2012. Then they had another election in 2012, and Putin became the elected president again. Then again in 2018... he became elected president. And what happened here, if you notice, there's a difference of 6 years. Russia changed the rules over there, and they changed it from a four-year term to a six-year term. That's the reason he got elected again here. Now, I got to thinking about that. He got elected to a six-year term. That's going to take it to 2024, and that's pretty convenient to me. But anyway, that's just my take on that. But at the midpoint in Putin's power over here, the USSR and Russia got their power taken away from them. And Russia got booted down by Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan did that without firing a shot. Ronald Reagan did that. Ronald Reagan personally brought down communism with his policies, and Putin resented that. A lot of people think Putin is still driven by the determination to have Russia drive to its glory again. Many of us remember the Cold War from 1947 to 1991. I remember growing up with it, and we always had that dark cloud looming over us of nuclear war. I can remember going as a 6-7-year-old boy in my backyard out in the woods, and, man, I was shooting the Ruskies. I mean, I had my guns and my sticks and guns and shooting Ruskies. And we remember that, and we were brought up with that. The threat of nuclear war was mighty powerful back then. I'm going to read you something that was written 4 years ago. Y'all bear with me. I'm almost through. 10 minutes left here. Now, in the absence of American will and collapse of order in the Middle East, what will keep the world's old nemesis, Russia, from rising again? This was written by the author that I'm quoting 4 years ago. It appears Putin realizes this is his moment and opportunity and is taking advantage of it. Notice his aggression. We have evidence to believe that Russia will ignite a world war like none other. Russia's aggression will cast a long shadow into a future described by the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel 38 and 39 describes an invasion of Israel by Russia. These nations gather and form a coalition that focuses on a world war on the Holy Land. Today, we see this historical character of that nation asserting itself again as it seeks to expand its power and disruptive influence, especially in the Middle East. It's only a matter of time before Russia stretches its claws towards the rich and free nation of Israel. My opinion is that author was spot on, and that was written 4 years ago. And we've seen things advance, escalate quickly here in the past several months. I move on from Russia to Babylon. I got your picture of Babylon because that's all I could get. Babylon, I'm going to move on from here if I can scroll down. Babylon is the second most mentioned city in the Bible. The references are never positive because Babylon was a wicked, wicked nation. There's nothing good said about Babylon. They were pagans. They were humanistic. They were against God for over 2,000 years. They were the most important city in the world, though, because of their location. They were centrally located. It was the world that led a financial center and linked the Orient with the Mediterranean, and it linked Egypt with Persia. The arts of divination, astronomy, astrology, accounting, and private commercial law all came from Babylon. Babylon is found in the first book of the Bible, and we know it is the Tower of Babel. And we know God's thoughts on that. He went and he stopped all that right there. It's a location for an international center. It's got beautiful plains. It's got the world's richest oil reserves. And it's centrally located. It would make an excellent world trade center. It'd make an excellent world communication center, a banking center, a world education center, and a world capital. The book of Revelation reveals that the Antichrist seizes control of the world, and he will make his political capital in Rome, and he's going to make his religious capital in Israel, and his financial capital will be in Babylon. You say, how's it going to happen? I mean, we went over and tore that country up here a few years ago, back in the 90s, and destroyed just about everything. We wiped them out. Amen? But it will be rebuilt. And the way things go now, you can rebuild quickly. To sum it up, look for Babylon to rise up from its current obscurity right now to a financial center of the world. In Daniel's time, Babylon was infested with magicians, soothsayers, and astrologers. You know, I was down at Homewood Walk another day, and I couldn't believe it. It just kind of stuck up to me. They've got a palm reader and something else you can go in and see and all that. We still have that here among us today, amen? The things that they started, you know, over 2,000 years ago are still with us today. In the tribulation period, Babylon will execute God's prophets that who refuse the mark of the beast. but it's going to fall quickly. The Bible tells us that. And when it falls, expect the financial security system, all the banks will dissolve. Amen. The stock markets will crash. The banks will crash. Everything will crash because this will be the financial center during the tribulation period. The apostles and prophets were made martyrs by the Babylonian system. Where they celebrated their diabolic wickedness. Babylon's enslaved God's people. He's boiled them in oil. They threw them in fire. They slung them in dens, in lions' dens. They've hung them on crosses. The Babylonian Empire has nothing good that's happened, but they will be revived again. And they're going to inflict the horrors of all those that received the mark of the beast during the tribulation period. That brings us to America. I want to get something with an American flag, but I've been up there to Washington, D.C., and one of my most memorable moments was getting out and running through the Capitol there and running past that, and I used to love running along here around Washington Monument when I was staying there. No, I don't run anymore. Somebody had to go and take my runner's card, but I used to enjoy getting out and running about 15-minute miles a day. This is the Washington Monument. That's one picture. America. What if Columbus, in discovering America, it was no accident? Amen. What if God had a special plan? Now, I don't believe there's any accidents, period, with God, but I just wanted to throw that out there. America. President Ronald Reagan believed God had a special plan for America. And I'm going to read this to you right here. It says, I have always believed that this anointed land was set apart in an uncommon way, that a divine plan placed this great continent here between the oceans to be found by people from every corner of the earth who had a special love of faith and freedom. Seems clear that God had a special plan for America. Amen. We've been blessed above anything else. Amen. Above any other nation. You won't find America listed in the Old Testament, and you won't find America listed in the New Testament. But that does not discount the fact that God had a sovereign plan for our country, the United States of America. When we look back on our nation's history, we see America's leader turning to God for guidance. You see Washington kneeling in the snow of Valley Forge. You see our founding fathers on their knees at the First Continental Congress. You see Lincoln praying in the hour of our national crisis. And we see Woodrow Wilson reading the Bible at night by the White House. Why has God blessed this nation above all lands? I want to say that He blessed our country above all lands because of our missions program. Amen. Now, I can't prove that with Bible, but that's my belief. Amen. And I also believe that He blessed this land because we were a friend to Israel. Now, I don't want to bring you down too much, Matt. I've already brought you down and got you, you know, and everything going on. But Biden has plans to visit Israel next week, and it's not for Israel's benefit. Amen. And I've already seen parts of his speech and everything. And I'm going to tell you, we are, as a country, turning our backs on Israel. And I'm going to tell you something. When you turn your back, those blessings that we have, they're going to be taken away. God giveth, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Amen. Y'all don't go home and get your guns out. Amen. Because it is all good at the end. Amen. Today, our heritage and national dependence on God is under fire from within the nation who threatens its divine lifeline. Folks, we're not, when Obama said we're not a nation, a Christian nation, we've got leaders up there that are not Christian right now. Amen? And it's almost like we've been taken over by a cabal right now because this is not the same country I grew up in. Amen? But, and I shouldn't have thrown that out there. Let me retract that. One of the hardest things for American students of prophecy to accept is that America is not found in prophecy anywhere. Now, the only way you can sit there, and I've read a couple of pamphlets and books on this, and you can try to justify that. You know that we all come from three people. Noah had three sons when he stepped off the ark, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And you know that Ham was your African nations, the blacks, and then the Shem was your Asian folks and your brown folks, and then you had Japheth, which is your white folks. And so what they wanted, a lot of people tried doing by placing America in prophecy, is saying that because we're from Japheth, and Europe is mostly white of Japheth, and the United States is mostly white, filled with Japheths, that we're part of Europe. That's a stretch, but I mean, it could be. I don't know. But a lot of people want to use that to say America is in prophecy because we're still part of Europe, or will be. I think I skipped some here. I don't know about that, but that's one explanation. Others believe that America will be no influence in the world due to a nuclear war or some kind of weapons of mass destruction that's going to hit us or some kind of major catastrophe. Some tsunamis coming from the Pacific and the Atlantic and doing a sin. I don't know. But a lot of people think that America is not in prophecy because of something like that. It's 10:30. I'm done here. Let me see here. Right here, here's why America is not going to be may not be in there, and that is because of our moral decay. We have no-fault divorces. We have a birth dearth, which is a falling fertility rate. We have increased disrespect for parenthood and parents. We have meaningless marriage rites and ceremonies. We have defamation of our past national heroes. We have acceptance of alternative marriage forms. We have widespread attitudes of feminism, narcissism, hedonism. I didn't know what that was. I had to look it up. It's a pursuit of pleasure, sensual, and self-indulgence. Amen. We see a lot of that. Propagation of anti-family sentiment, acceptance of most forms of adultery, rebellious children, increased juvenile delinquency, and common acceptance of all forms of sexual perversion. Remember, God bless this country for a reason. Our nation was founded on a submission to God, just like all our founding fathers I just told you about. But when His blessings will erode, we can expect the blessings themselves to go away, and I just told you that. Herbert Hoover wrote, and I'm closing with this, a warning stating our greatest danger is not from invasion by foreign enemies. Our dangers are that we may commit suicide from within by compliance of evil. And my last point, the reason that America may be impotent and no unpurposeful in the coming prophecy is because of the rapture of the church. Amen. I'm through, Brother Andrew.